He is indeed precious. Amen. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2 this morning. There's a little gospel song. We all know it. Some of the words, we may not necessarily remember all of it, but I did look it up, and surprisingly, I found it in the old Heavenly Highway hymnal, and it goes, I'm not going to sing it, but it goes a little like this: this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then the other verses go, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Then it repeats itself. And then the third one says, won't let Satan blow it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. And the fourth verse says, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Now, we all would say that this song has a great message for children, but it's also a great message for adults as well, that we are to be resolved to shine for Jesus as Christians, and we need to keep our light, the light of our testimony, shining brightly for Him. And in Revelation chapter 2 and in chapter 3 too, the Lord is speaking to seven churches in Asia as head of the church. And He is giving an evaluation, if you will, of each of these churches. And I believe that these seven churches represent types of churches and their members that have existed throughout all of church history. And I would dare say, perhaps, that these churches exist today, right? They're mechanisms of these churches still exist today. And so I want us to read, we're going to focus on the message to the church at Ephesus, and it is in Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou can not bear them which are evil, that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, and thou hast the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your word. And God, we're thankful for that blessed promise of eternal life when this life is over. Lord, help us to allow our light to shine in such sin-dark times. And Lord, to let our testimony not grow faint. Lord, help us to be a strong army for you, fighting the battles that we fight. Lord, we pray that now you would hide me behind the precious cross of Calvary. Lord, these dear folk not see me today, but they would see you speak to our hearts, Lord. May we repent. May we do that you've called us to do. And Lord, we'd be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, in the book of Revelation, now granted, most people avoid this book. Most Christians will try to avoid this book, and And I'll be honest with you, I started a series several years ago with my last pastorate, and we had spent a great deal of time in the book of Revelation, and as we were getting into the plagues and all the pestilences that was coming at the end of time, COVID-19 broke out, and they told me I was not allowed to ever preach from the book of Revelation again. And so I'm not saying that we're going to spend any great deal of time in the book of Revelation, but I feel that it is important for us to understand where we as Christians are in our walk with God. And I believe that these messages that were given to these particular churches are very relevant to the churches of today. Notice here in verse 1 that we see this communicator. The angel here was a messenger, and he referred to as one of these seven stars. And you can find that back in Revelation chapter 1 as well, that the lampstand refers to the church itself. And we're told that these messengers are being held on to by the Lord Himself. Now, I would dare say that this should be both a very humbling and a daunting and encouraging thought for any true pastor, knowing that the Lord is holding on to them as they proclaim the very Word of God. And those that proclaim any false messages should be struck to the core with fear, right? As they proclaim these things in the name of God, and they are definitely not of God. Jesus walks in the midst of all the churches, and He knows what's going on in the present at all times, and He knows that what you are doing, but He also knows what you are not doing. Remember the words where He says, "Lo, I am with you always." Right? So He walks in the midst of these churches of today, and He knows what is being done, whether it be correct or whether it be incorrect. And dear friend, we will have to stand before God one of these days with our actions. Notice in verses 2 through 4, He gives them a critique, if you will. Verse 3 gives them some condemnation. A commendation, rather. He talks about in verse 2, "I know your works and your labor and your patience, and you cannot bear them which are evil, and you've tried them that are saying that they are apostles and not, and have found them out to be liars. And you have patience, and for my name's sake you've labored and have not fainted." And so He is commending them for their work, right? This was a church that worked hard, and they persevered, and they were faithful in their doctrine, and they could not tolerate the false teachings. This was a church that was doing all the right things, made up of pastors and people who did the right things. But then notice in verse 4 that in the midst of all of this commending them, right, for the greatness that they had, He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you." And notice what it was here. "You have left your first love." They're still going through all of the motions, but they have abandoned their first love for the Lord Jesus. There was no fervency. There was no passion. It was just the motions of going through everyday worship and how they normally would do. But there was nothing behind it. The book of James in chapter 4, it talks about that these were guilty of spiritual adultery, being friends with the world, and how you can't be friends with the world because in doing so, you become enemies with God. You look at the state of our churches today. I'm saying there's a place and time for everything, but a lot of them resemble, as some would say, a modern-day rock concert where you can go and you can see all the stage lightings and you can see the full bands, and you can see the smoke machines and the pastors that look like rock stars, and the worship leaders that have all of these things on, and they're wearing hats in the church. And granted, I remember when ladies used to wear hats, but I'm talking like ball caps and just disrespecting God's house. All what? To appease the world, right? To pull them in. But dear friend, if you have to be the world to get people in there, then you're just no different than the world. He says, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. One of the things that was told to me when I was ordained was simply to preach Jesus. There will be some that comes, and there will be many that don't. Dear friend, we're not after crowds. And granted, I want to see us grow. I probably want to see us grow just as much or maybe even more than maybe anybody else here. I would love to see this place packed out every Sunday. Don't get me wrong. But I also must preach Jesus. I must preach the Word of God. And I must preach Him crucified. And I must preach that we are all sinners, right? That we're all doomed for hell. I must preach these things because that's what God has called us to do. And I trust that I never have to listen and hear the words that I have been charged and guilty of, this spiritual adultery. We must preach Jesus. There's a saying here posted on the pulpit that says, Sir, we would see Jesus. That is the message, or that is the whole mission of the church, is to proclaim Jesus. And the church in Ephesus did that, and they were doing very well with that until they became complacent. And they were satisfied, and so they lost their fervency, and they lost their passion. Notice what it says in verse 5. The Lord tells them, I know what you've done in times past, but this is what you have the issue with, is you left your first love. And then He gives counsel here. Notice He says, remember therefore whence you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. Remember. Remember, what was it like when you were most passionate about your Savior? What were your priorities? Were you joyful? Were you devouring the Word? Faithful in attendance? Sharing your faith? Have you ever truly been born again? Bible says to repent, to repeat. So all motivated by love for our Lord Jesus Christ, the three things to repeat are the worship, that we're motivated by love and joy, and this praise and thanksgiving, prayer, to take heed to the Word, to memorize, to meditate, to read, to listen to solid biblical preaching and teaching. To witness, to share Christ. Or what? Or else I'll remove your personal light of witness, and the church's light will go out. I remember years ago, and it may still be, I don't watch as much TV as I used to. I try to stay away from that as much as I can with all of the stuff that's going on in our world today. But nonetheless, there used to be, and it was really big on the radio too, if you remember the old Motel 6, y'all remember those? And the guy at the end of the commercial, I don't know his last name, but it was like, this is Tom or Tim Bodad or whatever his name was, and I'll leave the light on for you. You remember that? They always had a light on, right? there was a funeral home back home that I worked in and first started out in funeral service. Every time we were serving a family, we always had a porch light that shined over a large outdoor clock that was on the very front of the funeral home chapel building. And that light would always shine every time we were serving a family. So every time someone in town would go by the funeral home, if that light was on, they knew someone had passed. We left the light on. Dear friend, is our light still on? Is it still shining? I have an old antique. I bought it in Little Rock when I had the mortuary. And it's one of the torch-type lights. It's massive, and it's got the globe that comes out. And it's usually what you would find with the colored light bulbs in it if you're familiar with the funeral home. So I had bought that, and I put it at the house, and I had one of those light bulbs that flickers like a flame. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I had put it in there, and as that light started to go out, the flicker went. That was it. So it just steadily burned. It didn't flicker no more. And the older that bulb got, just replaced it last week, it was dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and it just kept getting dimmer to it. It was practically of no use anymore. And I thought, how much are we as Christians just like that light bulb? We had a flicker at one time, you know, perhaps even a flame, right? We were excited, we were passionate, just like the church of Ephesus. We were excited for the things of God, and we didn't want to miss the worship. We didn't want to miss Sunday school. In my case, when I was coming up, you know, every youth gathering, I was there. If the doors on that church was open, I was there. And then as time goes on, that flame becomes more of a flicker. And then that flicker starts to dwindle down to where it's just a steady glow. And before we know it, that glow is gone. Are we leaving our light on? Can others see Jesus in us? Or perhaps Jesus would say, I know your works, and I know that you were passionate, and I know that you would call those false teachers out, and I know you spread the word. But I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Could I issue a challenge to you this morning to return to your first love? Perhaps it's time to replace the light bulb right in our lives and let it shine brighter than ever. Verse 7. Words here, words of comfort. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. 1 John chapter 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So perhaps this morning you may be asking, well, preacher, how can I overcome? How can I know that I will be able to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God? How can I overcome these things? John tells us, right? He said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, is our faith. And he who overcomes the world is he who believes in Jesus. So we must return to Christ. You know what the hope for America is? This may be a shock, but it's not on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Amen. It's not in the Kremlin. Is that what it's called? Over in Russia. It's not in Nashville. It's not in Little Rock. It's not in Jackson, Mississippi. the only way to overcome the things in this world and the powers of evil in this world is not in mortal man, but in the man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And John tells us that the only way to overcome the world, to live this life of victory, is to return to our first love. Amen. We'll extend a hymn of invitation. Perhaps you need to return. Perhaps you need to replace the light bulb of your life, and maybe your faith has dwindled, and maybe you're like the church at Ephesus, where you at one time was fervent and you were passionate about the things of God, and maybe it's become more of a flicker. Can I encourage you this morning to return to Jesus? And simply say, Lord, help me set my... There's a song that says, set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Lord, help my little light shine again as we sing.